Welcome to Real FM Rewind. Here's some highlights from the week.
What's my strategy to March Madness, you may ask? Okay, I know you weren't asking, but I gotta tell you anyway because it's funny. I got roped into March Madness this year, and it is actually kind of amusing to be roped into something that you have no care at all in. You're just like, oh, I wanna see how this turns out because I'm amused by watching the people around me who do care about this March Madness thing. So when it came to putting together my bracket, I literally just went with my gut, beep, boop, 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 just whatever felt natural, whatever felt right. And so it will come to no one's shock that I am second to last, last time I checked with the March Madness brackets. But here's the sad thing. There are stakes involved, like the number one prize. I think if you won, you got a massage and a $50 Visa gift card, and there were some other monetary prizes involved. And so I was excited at the idea of possibly winning, but I do not care enough about basketball to get invested in this thing. And I honestly don't know what the correct strategy is. It's all, you know, to chance, basically. It's whatever, you know, the people on the field feel, you know. I don't know how statistics can really plan these kinds of things. It's just a chance anyway.
Anson, in the last few years, I know that you have taken up running and you have been to quite a few races, mm-hmm. that you have really started to enjoy this sport. Now, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Have you ever raced with a tray in your hands with a croissant, a coffee cup, and a glass of water on the side?
No, I can't say that I have.
I know. That like adds just a whole new aspect to the sport.
Yeah, I suppose it would.
And people in Paris are actually doing this. This is a 110-year-old tradition where the waiters and waitresses of Paris dash through central Paris celebrating the dexterous and, by their own admission, sometimes a little bit cranky men and women without whom France wouldn't be France. They've resurrected this tradition just in time for the Olympics to celebrate the people who are in charge of the cafes and the bistros,
uh-huh.
and maybe legitimately to like get in shape for all the people coming to Paris for the Olympics.
Okay.
So I just thought this was a fun tradition. I don't know if you're looking for a way to like spice up your training routine, might throw that in there.
That would add just a tiny layer of difficulty,
yeah.
I would think.
What are the qualities of an Airbnb that you look for? Probably price, probably how many bedrooms, bathrooms, location, timing, all of that stuff, right? Well, are you also looking to make sure that there's a cat guide? Zoe here with you on Real FM, and I love this story. It is so cute. And of course, me being the cat person that I am, I would totally want to stay at this Airbnb if I knew that there was a cat involved. A couple was staying at an Airbnb in upstate New York, going on some hikes in the beautiful countryside. And there was a cat that just lives there on the property. His name is Cinnamon, and he is like a working cat. He works to guide you along the trails through upstate New York. And the person who posted this on social media was so happy to have Cinnamon the cat there to help him. He posted in his comment, "Would apocalypse with him." I don't think my cats would be nearly as helpful guiding me through the wilderness.
All right, Kara, I want you to imagine the following scenario with me.
Okay.
All right, let's say you go to a fast food restaurant,
uh-huh.
perhaps McDonald's, and you decide that you're going to just go ahead and go for it. You're going to enjoy a Big Mac and a large fries and a large soda.
Yeah.
And upon completing your meal, what's your first thought?
I don't feel so good.
I think that's probably an experience most of us have had,
yeah.
right? Maybe just a little bit of regret.
I'm a little bit uncomfortable.
So you're saying the first thought you normally have after that is not, you know what I could really use right now?
Yeah.
A donut.
Oh, well, yeah, no.
You ever
not
had
typically.
That thought?
Not a donut, maybe like ice cream or
okay.
something, but not, you no. Yeah.
Well, McDonald's is banking on this.
Oh, no.
Because they're actually teaming up with Krispy Kreme. This is a real thing. Okay, I'm not making this up.
Oh my gosh.
They are teaming up, and McDonald's restaurants nationwide are soon going to be supplying Krispy Kreme donuts at their locations.
I don't know what to say about that.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
Yeah, because like that's not what I'm usually thinking.
No.
When I've finished my Big Mac meal.
I feel like those things should remain separate.
Right.
Separate things that are both very good.
Sure.
But you don't need them at the same time.
Yeah, we're going to hurt people.
Yeah.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Well, this is an unusual Facebook Marketplace experience. Zoe here with you on Real FM, and if you've ever sold something on Facebook online, on the Marketplace, you know that you leave a little description about the item that you're trying to sell. Well, this woman was trying to sell her quote-unquote stupid coffee table. That was the title of the item, stupid coffee table. And she called it stupid because the coffee table was too tall for her couch and too short for anything else, and it reminded her of her ex. She had just gone through a painful breakup. She wanted to get rid of it so she didn't have to think about him and to get a little extra money to buy a new and better coffee table. Very reasonable. Well, Felix, her cat, is sitting on top of the coffee table, which is really funny. He's very cute. And suddenly, this woman was flooded with hundreds of messages about the cat. Yep. Everyone was asking about the cat and if he was also part of the deal and asking how he was so fluffy and all this stuff about her cat. But she also received messages about how she's doing, if she's okay because of the whole breakup. And so she had to respond to all of these messages, but she can't respond to all of them at once. That'd be crazy. So she edits the post about the coffee table, adding information to everyone's questions like, hey, my cat's not for sale. How on earth could I sell him? He's clearly a gem. I cannot sell my cat. A little bit more information about the cat. And also, thanks people for their sweet messages. But no one seems to genuinely want to buy the coffee table, which is troubling after hundreds of messages. And she had gotten messages saying, well, why don't you just get rid of it if it's so painful to look at? And she's really determined. She needs to get $100 out of this coffee table. I mean, come on. She just really wants that $100. And I resonate with that. I completely relate to that. And so she explains all this, and someone gave her the idea, well, what if 100 people, since you're getting so many supportive messages, what if 100 people send you $1 and you get $100 and then you get rid of the coffee table because nobody wants the stupid coffee table? And she agrees to this idea, and guess what? It's not long after that, everyone Venmo'd her $1 and she reached $100 in like no time at all. And so she had to edit her post again. So this is the second edit, third post. And she says, thank you so much for everyone's support, for helping her, for sending her the money so she can get rid of the stupid coffee table. And I'm looking at this story like, man, the internet is a crazy place. People aren't so bad, I guess, after all. I mean, there's just a little bit of hope in humanity when people come together like this.
Kara, have you ever read a really good book and just gotten lost in the story?
Yes.
My daughter and I, we're reading The Hobbit together right now.
Oh, fun.
And one of my favorite books, a classic, of course.
Yeah.
And this happens every time I read this book. Just get lost in the pages and in the story.
That's so good.
But one thing that I've noticed is that when I read the Bible, I don't read it the same way most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm usually reading the Bible thinking about the nuggets of wisdom or the life lessons that I can pull from it.
Yeah.
And studying the Bible is not a bad thing at all. In fact, that's a very good thing.
Yeah.
So don't get me wrong. But I do think it could actually be a good practice from time to time to simply read the story of the Bible for the story's sake, or even just another person's narrative summary, and then see how God speaks to us through that.
Yeah.
So this has kind of become an annual tradition for me on the week of Easter, which a lot of Christians around the world refer to as Holy Week. I think this simple narrative approach helps me slow down and fully engage with what happened during this week back during Jesus's lifetime on earth. So with that in mind, today is Tuesday, known as Holy Tuesday, and here's what happened on Tuesday of Holy Week. Jesus had the previous day come into Jerusalem and cleansed the temple, that famous scene.
Yeah.
Tuesday's entrance was more of a direct verbal confrontation with the religious leadership of the temple known as the Sanhedrin. And there's this confrontation, and the Sanhedrin is trying to put Jesus in his place by forcing him to yield to their authority. But Jesus asks smarter questions and gives clearer answers than they did. And when they tried to question his motives, he exposed their hearts.
Wow.
It's a pretty intense conversation.
Yeah.
And when Jesus left the temple that day, the chief priests and the scribes decided they wanted to arrest him and kill him.
Wow.
And they knew they couldn't take his life from him solely on the strength of the charges they meant to bring, not if he defended himself, but he would not. We'll see on Friday.
Yeah.
Instead, by his silence, he would offer up his life for a world of people just like these who were so desperately needed to be opposed and upset. This is what Jesus had come to do, and he knew it was going to happen very soon.
How do you feel about Barnes & Noble? Zoe here with you on Real FM, and as a book lover, of course I have an opinion on Barnes & Noble. Maybe you don't, but I do have feelings, and if I'm being honest, I'm a bit torn, because on the one hand, it's so fun going into a Barnes & Noble. They have more than just books as well. They also have board games, which I find so fun, and they have a coffee shop in there. It's just a fun experience, and during Christmas time, it can be easy to pick up gifts for the whole family at Barnes & Noble. No, this is not turning into a commercial for Barnes & Noble, because this is the other side of how I feel. It's a corporate, giant, mega store, and if I shop at Barnes & Noble, I might not be helping the little guy, you know, the small businesses that also sell books that are also really cute, and there happens to be one or two really cute bookshops in my area, and I forget about them because Barnes & Noble is big and convenient, it's got the brand recognition, and so then I end up feeling icky when it comes to Barnes & Noble, so I'm very torn on the Barnes & Noble thing. And then I came across this story talking about how Barnes & Noble, for the first time in a long time, I'm guessing since the pandemic, because who was going into physical bookstores during the pandemic, but they're finally opening another location. And at first I'm like, oh, whoop-dee-doo, corporate bookstore, they're opening another bookstore. But then I kept reading the article, and it turns out that across the U.S., all bookstores, even the little stores, the small businesses, their business is booming too. I think finally people are getting back into reading, or at least that's my hope. That's what I'm trying to do for 2024, is get back into reading. And so that's exciting and good news for all bookstores, that maybe we're going back into those physical shops to graze at the physical books. Oh, I just love it.
Anson, this week I had the opportunity to visit the Best Friends Animal Shelter.
Ooh.
Here in Northwest Arkansas. I don't know if you've been there yet, but it is an experience.
I have not.
It's lovely, and I saw all the puppies and kitties, and it's such a fun place, and yeah. I was like, man, if I worked at a place like this, it'd be so dangerous.
Oh.
Because you'd want to bring home every single one.
Want to adopt all of them,
like,
yeah.
How do you not want to just, I mean, all the puppies and kitties. Well, Jason Stoltz works at the Humane Society in Colorado, in Pikes Peak, and this happened to him. He met this little French bulldog named Banjo.
Okay.
But the timing of meeting Banjo was actually quite beautiful, because he had been trying to figure out for like a year how he was going to propose to his girlfriend.
Ah.
Well, meet little tiny beautiful French bulldog named Banjo, who came to the Humane Society. He was abandoned at a very young age, came to the Colorado Springs Humane Society at just 6 weeks old, and suddenly Jason knew. This is it. This is my opportunity.
Yeah.
This is how I'm going to propose.
Uh-huh.
So he starts texting his girlfriend just pictures of this puppy. First, you know, getting the okay. Like, hey, I really need this puppy. Look at this cute puppy.
Uh-huh.
And she, you know, knows him and obviously loves animals too. She's like, all right, cool, whatever.
Nice, yeah.
So he has to wait till the puppy is 8 weeks old. So the day that he turns 8 weeks old, he texts her. He's like, I'm going to bring him home, but I'm going to pick him up. And she's like, all right, that's cool, whatever. So he presents her with the puppy, and she's like, oh, he's so cute. She's taken. And then she notices, what's this little tag that he's got on his collar? Oh, he already got a tag for him. That's really cool. Well, you can see in the picture that they post on social media,
yeah,
the little tag reads, will you marry me?
Aww.
On the cute little French bulldog. And so there's a picture of her hand with the ring.
Yeah.
And the sleeping puppy in the same picture. And I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that they lived happily ever after.
Of course.
Am I right? It's the perfect pup-prosal.
Aww.
If I'm being honest, I'm a little sad. I'm a little disappointed today, because one of the things that I really look forward to ever since I got really deep into my faith is looking forward to a church service on a Good Friday. Just being in a dark, quiet room surrounded by fellow believers, meditating on the weight of what Jesus did for us. Because if we don't understand the weight of our sin, the weight of what Jesus did, then we can't like fully appreciate, we can't fully celebrate and be joyous for his resurrection, for what he overcome. You got to know how far and deep, how gruesome it was to see how high and victorious and amazing it was. You got to have those both. You got to have Friday with Sunday, or else Sunday isn't as significant. And so I'm a little bummed. My church wasn't offering a Good Friday service this year. So here's what I'm doing instead. If you're in a similar boat, or maybe you wish that you could go to a church, but you're not sure what to do instead, here's what I'm doing. I'm going to try to make this kind of an annual tradition, but watching The Passion of the Christ, maybe it won't be every year because maybe it'll get old at that point, but watching Passion of the Christ a few years ago on Good Friday made a huge impact on me. I hadn't seen it in a long, long time, so it was almost a new watching experience, and it's not a perfect movie, obviously, but man, it wrecked me in a way that was beautiful and prepared me for the joy of Sunday. And so I'm going to be watching that on Friday since it's been a few years. The other thing that I'm planning on doing is just spending time with God, maybe going on a walk or sitting in the forest or something. I just want to sit and be in his presence and think about everything that he's done for me, both on the cross and just actively in my life as I live and breathe today. He is taking care of my earthly life and my eternal life, and that is just incredible. And so that's how I hope to spend my Good Friday, in lieu of not getting to do what I normally like to do, which is go to church. And so just some ideas for you on your Good Friday.
Thanks for listening to the Real FM Rewind. Make sure to check out all of our podcasts on the Real FM app or at real.fm. And don't forget, be kind and rewind.